Welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show, and now it's time to go to the Fool Phones. The Fool Phone line's open for your financial questions and comments. I welcome Dayana Yoakum, our resident personal finance expert here at the Motley Fool, as I always do. So, welcome.
Thank you, David. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we're going to Dallas, Texas, and Anthony is on the line. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. What's on your mind today?
Well, I bought some eBay stock last year, and it was doing really, really well. At the beginning of this year, however, it went down considerably. It dropped to nearly $30 a share. It seems to be getting a little bit better right now. I was just wondering what your thoughts are. Should I hold or sell?
It sounds like you're on the floor of the stock exchange right now. Where are you?
In Dallas, Texas?
Where are you calling from? Oh, you're at the airport.
Okay, sure, yeah. Right. Dallas-Fort Worth, that's a very large airport. And eBay is a very large company these days. And for it to have taken the dip that it did, Dayana and Anthony mentioned the $30. Well, the stock started the year at about $60, so it got just about cut in half, which is a very substantial loss of value. We're talking tens of billions of dollars when that happens to eBay. But today, the stock is in the low to mid-40s, so it has bounced back some. Anthony, are you asking the traditional buy, sell, or hold question?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. So from my standpoint, the first question I have for you is, how long might you expect to keep this money invested in the stock market, whether it's in eBay or anything else?
I'm probably looking at about between 1 and 5 years at the moment.
Okay, so you have potentially a use for this money, even a need that you're going to be selling something and using this money for something else within as little as 1 year.
It could be that. I would be looking at buying a house at some stage, and I would probably be using the money for a down payment on that.
Okay, so we're talking about how much house. That's what we'll headline this call. How much house could
eBay stock buy?
No, but quite seriously, Anthony, I mean, I think of eBay as it's a sure thing business, first of all. Okay, there is no company that's going to come along and out eBay what eBay is doing, and what eBay is doing, which is essentially providing a platform so that millions of people can sell stuff to each other, businesses selling to consumers, consumers selling to consumers. eBay, lock it down, and no one is going to beat eBay at what it's doing. It is a stock that I own personally myself, and I've held it for 7 years now. And that's why I wanted to know what your time frame is, because I think that's very informative to how to approach eBay stock.
As I said, between the 1 and 5 years, and I'm not able to define it any more than that. Do you think that definitely looking longer term than 5 years, that it would be a stock to keep hold of?
I think my own experience with eBay may be somewhat informative of how I would approach it if I were looking at it today as a fresh decision, and that's the way I'll approach our talk together. I bought eBay in 1998. I watched it double within about 6 months of having bought it. I had no intention of cashing in because I'm a long-term investor. So I held, and guess what? It got more than cut in half. I think we all remember what happened to the markets 2000 to 2002, and eBay got crushed for a while there. So I was well below where I'd invested at a certain point. I mean, I doubled my money, then I watched myself go underwater from my initial cost. But then, after 3 years, I got back to even, and in the fourth year of my holding the stock, it just about tripled. So, in other words, you could look back, I do, and I say, okay, I paid up, I arguably overpaid, I think the market made that clear to me, for a great company. I was back to even 3 years later, but you know what, that fourth year, and I can never predict when this is going to happen, it tripled. So when you look at that long-term holding, 4 plus, now 7 years, I am very happy that I owned eBay stock. So to close,
sure.
Anthony, I think you have to ask yourself, how long are you in this stock? If I were committing new money, if it's a buy, sell, or hold question, I would say if I'm planning on holding this 5 years or more, I would buy eBay. If, however, I am thinking of buying a house a year from now, I probably wouldn't risk that money on eBay stock. As much as I think it's a great company, you and I both watched it get cut in half in the first half of this year. And then, by the way, eBay jumped up in the past several weeks and had great earnings report. So I like the company. I've already made that clear. I like the stock today, but I don't like it if I'm only investing for 1 year. And I hope this call was helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL, and we are going to Houston, Texas. Jack is on the line. Hello, Jack.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
What's your question today?
Well, listen, I'm a high school teacher, and I teach U.S. government, and I've been a regular listener to your show, and I've kind of followed your advice that I should track and buy stocks that I regularly use.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching Starbucks for about a year, and then I know it's kind of past its peak as far as really spurting in growth, but I thought I'd watch it and purchase some stock because I thought with music and new drinks that it's taking on and new products that it's carrying that the stock would be a slow, steady growth.
Mm-hmm.
But after I bought it in December, the stock prices have seemed to level off and maybe even drop down a little bit since my purchase price. And I wonder your advice on what do you think I ought to do with Starbucks.
Have you been drinking less Starbucks? Did you kill the company's stock
performance? I'm telling you, since I bought it, I've been drinking it like a big dog.
and no doubt promoting it in your classroom,
absolutely.
Right? Get those
Everybody
kids thinking.
Everybody that comes with a Starbucks cup gets extra points.
Right. I mean, all high school teachers have an almost unprecedented opportunity to influence the younger generation toward the stocks they own.
That is true.
So, I mean, I am a Starbucks shareholder myself. I've owned it for longer than that, and I'm very pleased because it's done very well over the, I think, 7 years that I've owned the stock. But, you know, I think, Jack, you can't judge a company like Starbucks off just a six-month holding. I know it hasn't been an exciting year to be invested in Starbucks, and you're right. The longer this company is allowed to grow up, and then you finally buy the stock, you've missed some of that growth. There's no question about that. But the reality is, it's not about the past or even the present. It's about the next 10 years. And what do you and I think about Starbucks? And I'm still invested in the company because I think Starbucks has two great things going for it. Number one is its name. Howard Schultz, who is the chairman of the company and really the founder, the great mind and entrepreneur behind Starbucks, has said his aspiration for his company is maybe one day Starbucks could be the number one brand in the world, the most recognized consumer brand. And I think they've got that possibility. And I think that's very significant. And you see them try to use that in other ways, right? They're trying the whole XM satellite radio channel now. They own Hear Music.
And, of course, they really haven't broken into China yet.
And that's number two, in fact, which is the international opportunity. And so far, from everything I can tell, Starbucks has succeeded in Europe in countries that people didn't think it would succeed in. But then again, if you look back over Starbucks's almost 15-year history in the public markets, it's been doubted many times. In fact, I remember when it came public back around 1992, the big debate at that time was, is this whole coffee house thing just a big fad? There were a lot of conventional wisdom at the time was that this can't possibly work.
Coffee's, I remember that.
Coffee's been around a long time, but this is just like, I don't know, Pokemon. This is going to—by the way, Pokemon itself has been called a fad, and I actually think Pokemon has more legs than people have given it credit for. But that was the big argument about Starbucks back then. And so I continue to believe that it will succeed in Italy and in Britain and in other European countries, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see some nice international success. It's already had some, but China seems like, Asia does seem like a good opportunity for Starbucks.
So what I'm hearing you saying, and just hang on to it.
Why not? In fact, I would say add to it. I mean, if you can. I like my best investments have always been ones that I've added to multiple times. I'm almost never the guy who invests once at a certain price, never again, and that was the perfect price, and it's my perfect investment. Usually what I do is I make a commitment to a company, and I will buy its stock. I might even put only a third of the money that I'm planning on putting toward it, but I get in the game. Right, I don't feel like I'm making a big binary decision, yes or no, buy or sell. I'm just saying I'm going to get a little bit in the game and start watching it. Because once I'm invested, Jack, maybe it's this way for you too. I start to become more interested in the company once I have a little skin in the game, but I don't have to put it all in the game at once.
Right. Sounds like a good plan to me.
So I think be incremental is certainly one of the Motley Fool's dicta.
Jack, as a part owner of Starbucks, here is your opportunity to tell the company, to give them one suggestion.
Right, you know it's listening. I mean, we've had Howard Schultz on the show before.
That's
you know
right.
Howard's probably listening
right
now.
First, tell us what your standard order is there when you step up to the barista. And secondly, the suggestion for improving their business.
Oh, gosh. I'd hate to give them improvement business because I think it's doing fairly well. I would certainly branch out into Asia. That would be my big push. Japan, Korea, Singapore, China.
So more aggressive expansion you're calling for.
Yes.
Okay. And what is your favorite order at Starbucks?
I guess my favorite order would be a venti mocha.
That's my choice here in the east of this country. And so you and I, Jack, we got a lot in common.
Sounds good.
Sometime we should meet at a Starbucks. Come visit us in Alexandria, Virginia.
Sounds good. Next time I'm in Alexandria, I'll look you up.
We're here.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Take care.
Thank you.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. What's unclear to me is Jack treating me or am I treating Jack? The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. That's 866-677-3665. Let's go to Madison, South Dakota. Ethel is on the line. Ethel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, I know that you followed Sun Microsystems back in the day, and you kind of wrote it up and watched it tank. And my investment club also bought Sun way back in 2001, I guess. And we went on that roller coaster ride. And we were very much rookies when we bought, and we bought high. And we continue to hold our shares, not necessarily hoping to reach those heights again, but more to serve as a reminder. And what we're thinking about doing now is cost averaging, buying more shares at the low price to bring our average share price down to a more hopeful range. But we don't want to pour our money down a rat hole. And so what we can't figure out is what's really wrong with this company. We wonder why the stocks perform so poorly. Is it just kind of like bad luck and poor management? Or because it seems like a company that should be solid. I mean, it has good products, and it's a lot of good press in the news.
Okay. Well, all great questions, and let me say that I personally have never owned any stock in Sun Microsystems. The Motley Fool writes about lots of stocks at different points, and we certainly have people who advocate for it. I know a lot of our employees, I'm sure, have owned Sun Microsystems, and some still do, no doubt. But
It was in one of the portfolios, I suppose.
Okay, sure.
Where I got that impression.
Okay, good. And let me make sure that I mention, Ethel, that the reason I've never owned any Sun Micro myself is because I don't feel like I know Sun Microsystems, a very large and successful information technology company, a networking company, but one that I've never quite felt like I had a real grasp on their market. What I can tell you about Sun, and this is, again, a company that is actively written about at Fool.com, is that it's a company that lacks a key ingredient, which is top-line growth. That is, growth in their sales, just the amount of money they're taking in each year. Let's not even talk about profits. We're just talking about the top line, not the bottom line. And that has been, I think, Sun's bugaboo. And as you may recall, during those booming 1990s, there was a tremendous amount of investment in the internet, networking products and software, and really telecommunications as well. And what we found out was that it was unsustainable. And in lots of cases, as we saw in the early 2000s, early aughts, we've discovered that companies they'd already bought more than they needed. So that really hurt companies like Sun and its peers, because all of a sudden there wasn't a compelling reason to upgrade. You know, you already had maybe more than you needed. And so Sun has certainly been big into Java, and Sun Microsystems is, anybody who's used a Java application on the internet, Sun had something to do with that. But then again, competing directly with Microsoft hurt Sun, because Microsoft all of a sudden had more Java programmers than Sun. And so you're talking about a company that is a fairly large company with a stagnant stock, and if you're asking me, should your investment club be adding to that position, I would say no, I would not add to that position. It sounds as if you're motivated to do so because you have an existing position.
Right.
And so the way you put it to us, Ethel, is that you want to bring down the cost basis for your investment club.
But so that when it gets up high, we can sell it.
Right. But I think that you're allowing yourselves to perhaps fall victim to one of the investment mistakes a lot of us make. It's human nature. You want to get back to even and or get back. Right. If I just buy some lower now, if it just goes back to a lesser price than I initially bought at, darn it, I'm back to even. And maybe then I'll exit. A lot of people think that way. But I really think that the proper way to frame it is to say you have new money. And it's burning a hole in your pocket right now, and you're disappointed in Sun Microsystems, but you know what? There are 9,000 stocks out there, and there are a lot of companies that I personally like more than Sun Micro, so I don't think I'd advise you to add to a position just to lower the cost basis. I would advise you to take that new money and make the best use of it you can in a company that you know, love, and believe will be around and successful, let's say, 10 years from now.
Okay.
I was going to give Ethel the opportunity to tell us, you know, we've heard about one of the stinkers in their portfolio. Ethel, tell us about the best investment your club has made.
Recently, we just we've switched to a strategy where we buy good companies that we can find good, solid advice on that have a local connection. So we've done really well with Daktronics and with Raven and with United Fire and Casualty.
Excellent. So, those are a couple of companies I've heard of. My brother actually looks for hidden gem stocks, and I think one or two names I recognize from my brother Tom Gardner's investment approach at Thal, where he's intentionally looking for companies that I've never heard of. So, you know, I only have heard of Daktronics, for example, because I've heard of it through him. What is Daktronics' business?
Daktronics makes those scoreboards that you see and outdoor displays where the, along the highway that say, you know, traffic up ahead and all that kind of stuff.
Right, caution. Yes, exactly. It's the scoreboard company, and that has been kind of one of those sleepy businesses we all take for granted. But, you know, somebody's making those things and selling them.
Oh,
and,
it's a very good company.
It is. And I United Fire and Casualty, another that I've heard of. So I would tend to add, I'm glad Dana got in her word edgewise, and I would add new money to those companies. I would tend not to add to Sun Micro. Right,
were any of those your idea? Did you bring any of those to the table?
Yes.
Excellent. So so who's the weak link in the club? Who are you going to kick out? Who are you voting off the island?
Well, actually, I also bought another in the early days. I was a strong supporter of Organogenesis, which went bankrupt.
You know, I
so
truly
we lost
don't.
It all.
I truly believe that that's part of investing. I know a lot of people live in fear of ever losing money on any investment. It keeps them from making or taking, in some cases, greater risks, which might be appropriate for them, depending on their age, in the stock market. I don't think we should be afraid to have something go bankrupt. I think you should be very afraid if that's all you invested in. But I think what we talk about is 10 to 20 stocks for a good mature portfolio. And, you know, the fact is, if I own 20 stocks, one of them is going to be a real bummer of a stock. And that's part of investing.
Well, we're within about $600 of covering all of our losses from the early years and our commission costs.
So, you know, all
we're
you have to do is
pretty
just,
good.
Right, just write a $600 check. You're back to even. the other women in the club will be most appreciative, and everybody will feel great about it.
Well, we have a lot of fun doing it.
That's the important thing, and I'm glad you mentioned that. A perfect way to close. Thank you, Athel. Good luck.
Well, thank you.
And that wraps up the Fool Phones for this week.
The Fool Phone Line's always open, 866-NPR-FOOL. Thank you very much, Diana.
Thank you, David.